We're talking about swagger, about you, about your attitude, about all the difference it can make, and then the impact on everyone else. It's really a leadership conversation today. Our guest is Randy Cohen.
Woo, woo, stand back, non-believers. I am so excited to be on the legendary Bill Gallagher show in Austin, Texas. What could be better on a Friday the 13th? Woo, woo, let's go. Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. My name is Bill Gallagher, scaling coach, host of the Scaling Up Business Podcast. You heard him already. Randy Cohen has a lot of energy for all of you to deal with. We're talking to Randy Cohen in Austin, Texas, about his life and lessons and things like that. He's an entrepreneur, chief energy officer at Ticket City, restaurateur, author, speaker, philanthropist. He truly has a passion for life. I'm excited to get him on. So you've got Z Tejas now, and you've got a new thing called Woo Woo Burger. Is that right?
You know what? Just say it out loud one time. Go woo woo. Do that for me real quick, Bill. Woo woo woo. How do you feel?
You know, hungry, right?
Well, yeah, we're excited about that one. You know, this is a passion of mine. You know, I never intended to own a restaurant business. Being a kind of godfather of tickets for the last 35 years and saving the world one ticket at a time and making dreams come true, you need to mix it up. And I was actually just an investor in the Z Tejas brand. Z Tejas is a restaurant chain that's been around for 35 years, and it went under. And I said, I'm not going to let this amazing brand go under. So saved it about 3 years ago, perfect timing right before COVID. And we're opening up our fourth restaurant on Monday for Z Tejas, and we're really excited about that. So the Woo Woo Burgers you just mentioned is just another hook in the water. That's a ghost kitchen of ours that is so much fun. It literally is the best burgers in the planet. And when you eat one, you will just feel like going, woo, woo. So took a little detour to get to Woo Woo Burgers, but it's a lot of fun being in the restaurant business, Bill.
That's awesome. That's better than the other. Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about, give some folks a sense of like kind of your background and motivation. Let's start with the Atlanta Olympics. I think it's a great place to start.
Yeah. You know, right before that, I'll go into how Ticket City basically got started. All right.
Okay.
Ticket City was started in around the year 1987. And what happened is I took my life savings, Bill, of $1,200, and I decided to buy 200 tickets for the big game. It was the University of Texas, who was number three in the country, playing the University of Arkansas, who was number one in the country. Well, I thought for sure this game would sell out, so I bought 200 $6 tickets, and guess what? The game did not sell out. I had to go down to the street to where the venue was. It was at the Frank Irwin Center off MLK and 15th Street in Austin, Texas. And I was just devastated. I thought I was going to lose my life savings and, you know, go back to just waiting tables and bartending. But after about 10 minutes of people in line, all of a sudden the little sold out sign came down in front of the box office, and there I was holding 200 tickets, and I'm like, hello everybody, it's your lucky day. And I sold all my $6 seats for $15 a piece, made a cool $1,800, and I thought, wow, I can do this. And that was in 87. Well, after graduating from the University of Texas, I think you always need to learn on someone else's dime. I worked for another company for about 4 years, and I said, the time is right. Let's start Ticket City. And before that, it was actually Tickets R Us, but Toys R Us did not like that. I got the official letter from that little Toys R Us kid, and he said, you can't have that. So I didn't fight that. I became Ticket City in 1990. And moving forward in 96, that's when the epiphany happened. And here's how it went down. I get a phone call. It's the first day of the opening ceremonies, Bill. We're all excited. We're selling tickets, and the phone rings, and I get this call. I'm like, hi, thanks for calling Ticket City. This is Randy. How can I help you? And it was this lady, and she goes, "Hi, I really want to go to the opening ceremonies. Do you have tickets?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. We have great seats. How many do you need?" And she goes, "Well, I just need one. But the thing is, I don't have a ride." And I thought, wow, you don't have a ride. That's kind of weird. And I said, "You know what? Randy, Ticket City, you're all about customer experiences, making dreams come true, doing the right thing long after the feeling of doing it leaves you. You need to do this, Randy." And I said, "Ma'am, it's your lucky day. I'm coming to get you." So I went and I rented a black Lincoln Continental from the airport. I drove an hour and a half outside the city. I picked up this lady, Bill, and she was a 75-year-old grandmother. And she was so excited to go to this event. She couldn't believe she was going to get to knock something off her bucket list. So we drove back into the city. We went to this event. I was so watching her, and she was about to cry, and the sparkle in her eye and her excitement. And I was like, "Way to go, Cohen. You did the right thing." And we went to this event, and we saw Muhammad Ali light the cauldron. We saw all the Olympians walk into the venue, and it was fantastic. And we just had the most amazing time. I got her back home late that evening, headed back home exhausted, went to the office the next day. And here's what happens, Bill. All of a sudden, word spreads through the office. "Hey, did you hear what Randy did? He blew off his plans and he took a grandmother to the Olympics last night." And this is what happens. They start doing the right thing long after the feeling of doing it leaves them. They go above and beyond. And that's how the Ticket City culture was born in 1996.
That's awesome. Now, I've heard the story a couple times, but I love this like leading from the front, setting the example and doing something unusual and extraordinary, going above and beyond. And then that having that inform your culture, not be a one-time solitary event, but be like an overall thing. Yeah,
that's just, you know, as a leader in any company, you got to have that heart, but it has to be authentic, sincere, humble, and kind. And if you can get all that in a package, you're going to win. You're just going to win.
So tell us that we were talking about swagger, right? What's your, do you have a definition of swagger? What does swagger mean to you?
You know what? To me, when you walk into a room and you're just high-stepping it, you're feeling good, you're just living that walk as much as you talk the talk. It's it reminds me of when we had our second Ticket City Bowl. All right, our second Ticket City Bowl, we had Penn State playing the University of Houston. Penn State came off that really crazy year with Joe Paterno, and they fell into our Ticket City Bowl, which was at the old Cotton Bowl in Dallas. And they let the CEO do the coin toss. Well, I'm going to do the coin toss at the bowl game. They bring you over the 50-yard line. And I thought to myself, I cannot just do a coin toss. I'm not going to do that. That's not me. I need to give these boys a speech, and I need to pump them up because I need a ball game. We're on ESPN, and I decided to make the first pregame coin toss speech in the history of college football. So I looked at these guys, and this is what swagger is to me. I had Penn State towering over me to the right. I had Houston and Case Keenum towering over me to the left. And I looked at these boys, and I said, "Gentlemen, victory loves preparation. And today you all have prepared yourselves to be victorious." And I looked at these guys, and they were looking at me like scared deer in headlights. And I looked at Penn State towering over me, and I said, "Fellas, will you all play with the soul of a lion and give it everything you have? Can you do that for me, boys?" And they go, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we will." And I then looked at Case Keenum in Houston, and I said, "Guys, will you all play with the heart of a cougar and leave it all out on the field? Can you do that for me, boys?" And they're like, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we will." And I'm thinking, my kids don't listen to me that good. That's beautiful. This is swagger. I did, and I don't usually share this part, the worst coin toss in the history of coin tosses. I launched that high in the air. It wafted. I kid you not, it landed on a Penn State player's helmet. It bounced 20 yards away. The referee had to chase down the coin. It was heads, and that was the only thing Penn State won all game. They won the coin toss. So here's what happened. After the game,
I'm carrying swagger on that coin toss, sending it to
It was terrible, but it worked out okay because after the game, Houston won big time. And I'm carrying this big Eagle trophy onto the field, and I'm waddling it, and Case Keenum locks eyes with me. And you know what he says? Heart of a cougar, baby. Heart of a cougar. He listened to the whole thing, paid attention, won the big game for Houston at the Ticket City Bowl. So that's swagger, Bill.
I think I should go put a cougar in my car right now.
You won't get hurt. You might get scratched.
Drive real fast. So let's talk about heart. And you brought up rest his soul, Tony Shea. Who you talk about, Tony.
Yeah, Tony was a dear friend. A matter of fact, I was just thinking about him today. I met Tony at a speaking conference out there in California, and he wrote a book, you know, Delivering Happiness. And he was a quiet, introverted, heartfelt leader. He had a passion for life. I just don't know that he wanted to be here towards the end in the human form of life. And he was somebody that just wanted to make a difference. He looked at things a different way, and he loved having fun and, you know, enjoying every moment that I was around him. You know, he visited me a lot of times at South by Southwest when we were in Austin together, and I would go visit him when we were in Vegas at his, I call it his country home out there. But he was just a really amazing human, and he left us way too early there.
Yeah. Yeah. So much. What difference, like, how do you see that humanity showing up in and around the people around him that touched him and work and like that?
You know, he was such a quiet leader. He picked his spots. It's just amazing. You know, we're all different humans. Okay. And, you know, I sometimes am a bull in a china shop, and I'll get people's attention for sure. No, I don't do quiet very good. And Tony, he would just command a room, and people were just waiting for him to speak. And he picked his spots. He was just, and the whole room would go silent to just lean on every word from this guy. So there's lots of different ways to command attention and to lead with swagger. And he certainly did with, you know, the strong, silent type.
It's interesting how that shows up, right? Like if you always are shouty, then people sort of adjust their hearing for you. If you modulate, if you're quiet and then you speak out, if you're reserved and then you share your heart, like we hear it differently, right?
Yeah. You got to be you, you know, and when my swagger is when I'm walking to a room, it's hello, everybody, stand back, non-believers. I'm giving myself a little, you know, woo-woo shout out. I'm high-fiving people, chest bumping people, but that's me. I'm bringing the energy because I want to be the rising tide that lifts everybody up, because that stuff can be contagious. And it's worked out great for me. I mean, I am so fortunate with the things that I've gotten to do, but that works for me. That won't work for everybody. You know, you got to be true to your own heart. And mine is walking into the room and trying to make everybody else feel good about themselves. Because, you know, I'm never the smartest person in the room, but boy, I can put together a team that will stay with me for, you know, 30 years. The whole Ticket City team is still together after 30 years. That's my CFO and my management team. And, you know, to me, that says it right there. Why are they hanging around? They could have gotten plenty of better jobs, but if they're taken care of and they're getting to love what they do and they do it well, they get to keep on doing it. Everybody kind of wins.
You know, when I think about swagger, right, I think a few things. So when I think about the moments that constitute whatever that is for me, I think Secrets of Swagger, there's the book. I think about I'm good. I'm good right now. I feel good. I got what I need. I have extra to give. I'm ready for this. This is where I'm supposed to be. All things lead to this. And then finally, and I think critically, let's have some fun. Like, let's swing out there for me. So it's first, you know, that everything's good over here. And then I'm ready for this out here. And then there's like an intention to go express something, feel something, create something.
Oh, yeah, I think you nailed it right there. And that was the deal with Zetaos. Okay. You know, everybody tells you, why would you want to do restaurants? It's a no-win situation. And when people tell somebody like you, me, or Tony Hsieh, no, you can't do something, where are we going to go? You just watch me. I'm going to prove you wrong. Well, let me tell you, with restaurants, they are right, but I'm still going to prove them wrong. And the point being is, I didn't take on the Zetaos as a 35-year-old fledgling brand that needed to be turned around. For me, yeah, I wanted to prove people wrong, but I had a team that wants to win.
Right.
So if I can bring a culture to a team, and they're fantastic. I gave a percentage to the COO, Robbie Nethercutt, who's doing a fantastic job. I gave him a coach, a CEO coach, in Jonathan Domsky out of Chicago. You might recognize his name. He is crushing it with Robbie, making us 1% better every day. And then same thing, I gave 5% of Zetaos to my executive chef over all the locations. And we are building new locations, and we were using all the rules of what got us here won't get us there, and everything that we've learned over the years through scaling up, and that's how we're winning. And I just walk in there, and you know, I don't get paid, but you know, I can eat a lot of tacos and margaritas, you know, so someone's winning somewhere.
Hey, on that shout out, Wanda, thumbs up in the background. You have Jonathan Domsky already scheduled for the show? No, she said, okay, we got to get that. I think he's on our
he
guest
is list. A Zen master. He yeah. is a Zen master guru, one of the sharpest people I've ever met.
Yeah, we got to get John on the show. So let's talk about out.com. Out.com sounds like an LGBTQ thing. What is it? Talk about it. What did you do? How'd that go?
You're missing part of it. It was actually soldout.com. Soldout.com. Yeah. So
different business, but
this was a great story. So back in, I think it was the 90s. No, 2000. It was 2000, somewhere in 2000, 2005. Ticket City was doing really well. We were gaining market share in the Southwest. And there was a company out of Connecticut called soldout.com. And they were told, if you go for it and you know, this was the days of advertising in the USA Today and Yellow Pages. And they were in Yellow Pages all across the country. And they went for it. And you know what happened? They ran out of money. They ran out of money. And so I had an opportunity and I needed to borrow from the bank. And we had a line of credit from the bank. I think it was $75,000 at the time. And you know, this company was going to cost us about $300,000 to buy. And the bank said, oh, Randy, we have to cancel the line of credit. You can't, you know, we're just not feeling this stuff right now. It was 2000, 2001, all the craziness. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you promised it and you take it away. What's the deal? And you can't let that beat you. So I said, we're going to figure out how to do this. We maxed out our credit cards. We got cash. We put the bid in and we were able to get 1-800-SOLD-OUT. It was called soldout.com. And what happened, you know, I wanted to gain some New York market share. We had a great phone number. And as soon as we ended up buying the company, if I recall, it was around August of one of those years in early 2000. And the phone started lighting up for the U.S. Open tens. We were, you know, getting calls from all over and we started selling a lot of those tickets.
Yeah.
We were already one of the first companies online to sell tickets, where we started in 96. And we made a lot of our money back off that one event. Right after August came, I think it was September, October. October of that year, there was a World Series. And in that World Series, it was the New York Yankees that ended up playing the New York Mets. Well, I had just bought a company based out of Connecticut and that East Coast. And our phones went ballistic. We ended up paying back that whole $300,000 with just that World Series. But that wasn't it. Good things happen to people that take chances. That was October. November, December, January came along, and guess what? The New York Giants made it into the Super Bowl that year. All the stars aligned. I paid for the investment twofold over within about 8 months, and we started to get a lot of market share in that part of the country. So, you know, the point is, even though things are scary and you're nervous about things, you got to take those shots. If you want to win, you got to go for it. And I'll give you an example. One of my friends and mentors, his name was Augie Garrido. Augie Garrido was the most winning college baseball coach in the history of college baseball. And he was coaching the University of Texas. And Augie was telling me, Randy, I got to tell you the story. And he said, Randy, it was the College World Series. And I was going to take the bat out of one of my players' hands. And when a major league or college coach goes to make a decision, he doesn't change. He goes out there, he grabs the ball, he grabs the bat, you're out. And he went up to grab the bat from the batter and say, I'm pulling you out, putting someone else in. And the batter goes, Coach, I can hit this guy. I can hit this guy. This is the College World Series. I got this. And Augie thinks for a second, and he goes, you know what? All right, I'm going to let you do this. And he heads back out after talking to his batter. And I'm like, Coach, why did you do that? You never do anything like that. He goes, Randy, I just wanted to see what happened. And the guy ended up whacking a home run, and Texas won the College World Series that year. You know, so sometimes, you know, the best decisions are the decisions that you don't make, but you at least go up there front and center to be concise about a decision. So, you know, just thought I'd share that fun story.
Well, I hear really like going for something and trying it, and then all of the unforeseen things that happen, which include both good and bad things, right? Like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm full of swagger. I flip the coin. It goes all to hell. Like, you know, there are things that we go out with the best intentions. You take a risk. It doesn't turn out. But I also don't hear getting stopped with it, like trying something and continuing to go through. While we're on that, why don't you talk about adversity and fighting through things and dealing with setbacks?
Yeah, I'll give you a tough thing that happened at Ticket City one year. So Ticket City, you know, online brokerage company, people would put their inventory on our website and, you know, sell it. And then, you know, they send it out to the client that we sell it to. Well, it was the Super Bowl in Phoenix. And I think we had New England versus Seattle. And Seattle came out in full force. And the market exploded. And I think tickets were sold on a website from other people that I think sold short on inventory and they wanted to pick it up later. But we don't really let people do that. Well, what happened since people sold short the day, you know, a week before the game was happening, the people that sold tickets on our site said, I'm sorry, we don't have those seats to deliver. Well, ultimately, Ticket City is responsible. So, you know, you can run from a situation or you can meet it head on. So we didn't have the tickets to deliver to all our clients, but I went down there to Phoenix and it was a barrage of tomatoes and stones and people were really angry, you know, but we try to always do the right thing long after the feeling of doing it leaves us. And we met it head on. So what we ended up doing for that, we gave everybody their money back if we couldn't get them their tickets. We gave everybody an additional $2,000 per person per ticket. And we threw a monster party with free food and booze. Now, it was nothing that they wanted. They wanted to go to the Super Bowl. But at the same time, you know what? You do the best you can through adversity and you try to make it fair for all. Because if you think it's right in your heart what you're doing, you're going to make it through, but you got to meet it head on. And, you know, even though people were in line and they were all waiting to talk to me, where are my tickets, and to yell and scream at me, I met every individual as the chief energizing officer and heartfelt leader straight on to deal with this issue. It was no fun. And, you know, we tried to take care of people the following year. And it took a little bit of time to unwind, just like COVID did with a lot of things as well. When Ticket City went to $0 in sales, you don't really have much of a company there during COVID when events go down to no events. So, you know, that's what life is. It's you know, up and down. You're not always happy 24/7. There's going to be stuff, but I'm a firm believer that's what makes us grow into the best humans that we can be, dealing with the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly.
Yeah, you know, I was just at an event, and it was a nice big full room of people, but somebody pointed out, hey, we had 2, 3, 4 times the number of people at our events back in 2019. I'm like, yeah, but for the last 2 years, we've had 0 people in person. And so this is a big jump up from that. Now, you know, there might be costs and things that were set back in 2019 and expectations, but I think there's always like a mix of the things that are going according to plan and the things that are not going according to plan. And there's something to appreciate about all sides of it.
Yeah. You know, when I hear you talking about that, it's like, okay, is there a plan B? You know, we're humans. We don't want to put on the brakes. So, you know, we don't want to be told, no, we can't do something. We're Americans, you know, we can do it. And, you know, just the event that I was at recently with your wife over at the Gathering of Titans, it was a fantastic event. We all met head on, had an amazing time together, bonded. It was great catching up. And, you know, a few people ended up after the event, even were being careful, ended up catching COVID. But, you know, life goes on. You know, I know it turned out to be a super spreader event. But, you know, if you're going to get it, you might as well get it from some of your best friends, you know?
Your best friends give you the things that really matter.
I know.
All right. So let's talk about, you've thrown out a lot of good catchphrase. Like, we've got the woo-woo and we've got Americans. You like the phrases, catchphrases and slogans.
Yeah.
Talk about that for us.
So one of my favorite is called the loop of love, the loop of love. Okay. I actually have a foundation called the Loop of Love Foundation. And the foundation is based on incentivization for, you know, 7th and 8th graders. You know, when I was a kid playing soccer, I played in Columbia, Maryland, and my coach was a guy by the name of Jack Kent Cook. Well, Jack Kent Cook was that guy. He was the owner of the Washington Redskins. And I had never been to a Redskin game. And when the owner of the team says, hey, whoever practices the hardest over the next 2 weeks, I'm personally going to take them to a game. And I'm like, what? I've never been to a Redskin game. I'm an 11-year-old kid in a middle-class family. Do you know how hard I practiced and played during those next 2 weeks? I busted my butt. You know, incentivization works. And the Loop of Love Foundation is actually about taking these 7th and 8th graders who might be C students, where they have a chance to go with the CEO or, you know, somebody of importance to a college football game, a San Antonio Spurs game, a Dallas Cowboys game, a Redskin game, something with a leader, a CEO, and they're competing against a lot of other kids to try to win the right to go to this event. And if they do things right and they go from C to an A and write an essay, they end up getting to go to this event with an amazing leader. They learn, they grow. And, you know, they also, not everyone wins. It's not everybody gets a ribbon like it was, you know, over the last many, many years. It's you show up, you work hard. Sometimes you win and get the order and the deal. Other times you don't. And, you know, Loop of Love is just the whole spirit of the Gathering of Titans, you know, the group that meets every year. For those of you who don't know, I am in this group that we've been meeting together the last 18 years, and Bill's beautiful wife, Lori's in this group, and we learn and we grow. And, you know, to me, the Loop of Love is just being in that circle together of how to better ourselves to be the best we can be. And And those are the people that are around me, not just my kids and family, but my friends, you know, people like your wife, and just all the spirit that helps it grow for the good of really humanity.
So for the listeners who don't know, and just to like draw the connection between these things you're talking about, the scaling up originated from a thing called the Rockefeller Habits, which came out of a program that ran at MIT called the Birthing of Giants way back in the day with the old Young Entrepreneurs or YEO organization. Today, Entrepreneurs Organization runs a program called EMP, which is the successor to that. We run a program called Scaling Up. And the old alum of that, some of them with gray around the corners of their faces and that kind of thing, they go to a program called Gathering of Titans, where the old graduates come back together and share and continue the growth in their lives and the learning that is unique. And so my wife Laura goes to that every year with a core group of those folks.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that for me. It's just, if you get anything, or anyone listening to your show gets anything, it's, if you want to scale up, not just in business, but life, you need to continue to learn and grow and read, exercise your brain. And, when you read something like Secrets of Swagger, you might not get 100 takeaways, but if you get one takeaway that can really make a difference, you're going to grow as a human. And, but the thing is, you got to execute some of these things. And that's the tricky part in life, executing one thing to just make ourselves a little bit better.
You actually have to do something, right? You have to put something in practice.
It's in the rule book.
You can't sit there having thoughts and insights and inspiration. You have to translate inspiration to action if you want to see any results.
And that's what I call love what you do, do it well, and keep on doing it.
So tell us a little bit about the book. What's in the book? Why did you write the book?
My feeling in life is, you got to walk the walk that you talk. And, I really do love what I do, do it well, and yeah, keep on doing it. And a lot of I basically talk about all the C letters in this book, collaboration, charisma, commitment, courage, coolness, competitiveness, character, and creativity. And what made me write this is, I didn't do all this stuff myself. I learned from other people. Who's an amazing collaborator? I would go to a concert and watch Lady Gaga, and I would watch her, how she is with her people that are dancing with her, what she's wearing. She works and collaborates with her team to be the best she can be. And, now she's a, Grammy and Academy Award winner type, human. Charisma. Yeah, she's a big deal, and she had her own struggles. Charisma. Who out there in life has ever had more charisma than the legendary Frank Sinatra? You don't think old Blue Eyes would walk into a room and just people would stare, and he just exasperated Swagger. I talk about commitment. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. That girl, in her time, she wanted to be the best in the world at fighting. She learned jiu-jitsu and judo. She worked her butt off to be a world champion. Courage. You don't think President John F. Kennedy had to have courage to deal with the Bay of Pigs and sending people to, their death, and then, fighting against Russia? Man, there was some stuff going on. So I talk about a lot of these things in this book, and I compare some of the things that I had to go through and work through to build Ticket City, and all the spirit of a lot of these people emulated with me. I befriended a guy, probably the most competitive guy I ever met, a guy by the name of Richard Branson. I met him over there on Necker Island, and he's become a dear friend. And he doesn't want to lose. I'd be playing tennis against him, and yeah, he's a few years older than me, but he is just relentless. Chess. I sit down with him and play him chess. He, I take my finger off the damn, Bishop for a second. Nope, you took it off too late. You know, he wants to win. You got to learn from these competitive individuals. And then you got to, you know, see people like a John Wayne out there. And I mean, what a character in these movies that he was in. You know, he just exhumed swagger and his character of being the, you know, the good guy and the hero. And I see in John Wayne, I see a lot of Ronald Reagan. I was real fortunate to see a sneak preview yesterday with some amazing individuals. And Reagan, the movie is going to come out in about, I think, about 8 months. And it's starring Dennis Quaid. And what a fascinating, you know, movie about an amazing president during our lifetime. You know, the President Gorbachev, you know, take that wall down. Dealing with, you know, many things that he had to deal with during that time frame. These are all amazing humans that helped guide me to be the best leader I could be with swagger, to grow a ticket city and to take a chance at, you know, being successful in a restaurant like Zetas, which is now in Arizona with two there, one in Scottsdale, one in Chandler, and two in Austin with two more on the way. So, you know, you got to keep moving forward. And I really enjoyed writing this book, Secrets of Swagger. And it's been pretty fun. There's plenty of them in my garage if anybody needs it.
We'll ship round the clock. Well, there's a lot of great takeaways there. And if you want to know more, let's put up a link to the book. Of course, you can go on Amazon, wherever. You can call Randy. Yeah. He'll ship you the book out of your backyard. He's giving your email you've got on our thing. Secrets of Swagger, randy@ticketcity.com. Yeah. It's been awesome to talk to you. It's nice to hear and connect. We don't see each other enough. Hopefully this year we'll get out to Austin before too long.
Well, I got the place. You're staying at my downtown condo. I got lots of room for you guys because you know why? You're in the loop of love, Bill.
In the loop of love. Well, we've got Daniel in downtown. We've got a client in Austin now, so we'll have to get there before too long. Well, there's the info about that. Let me give a shout out to some of the folks who help us make our show awesome. To Wanda Mitchell in the background, running production and all of that kind of thing. And of course, to my mentor and friend, Vern Harnish, creator of the Scaling Up Framework and the start of all of it. Our audio is edited by Podfly Productions, Albert Burge, Anna Kudina, and proofread by Tim McGowan. If you want to find out any more, get any more info, find a coach, anything like that, you go to scalingcoach.com. And if you want to drop us an email, you can send an email to info@scalingcoach.com. You want to suggest a speaker, a guest on the show, you want to get some more info about whatever, anything we can do for you at info@scalingcoach.com is that email. Thanks again, everyone, for listening, for watching. Keep scaling up. We'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Bill.